Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we have one of the victims of human trafficking, Nancy Moyo, who says she just escaped from her employer where she was being held captive and is now at a shelter in Kuwait. Nancy is one of the 200 women that are believed to have been trafficked to Kuwait under the guise of greener pastures, but were later given menial jobs or turned into slaves, with some of them being sexually abused. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Nancy.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Tell us about your situation. What is happening right now to you in Kuwait?
I came from Zimbabwe to Kuwait. When I arrived in Kuwait, I was visited at the airport by the driver. He came to pick me up. When we were in the parking lot, he took a form which he said I was supposed to sign. I was about to sign my contract, but when I realized that the money I had been promised was not the money that I was going to be paid, it was written 70K. Then I asked him, how much is 70K in US dollars? And then he told me, it's 160, 150 or $250, depending on the bank rate. And then I asked him, how can you say we are going to be paid $250 when you were told we are going to get 800 or more US dollars? And then he said, that was a joke. We are going to be getting this money. Just get in the car, let's go. So we went to the house where I was supposed to work. When I arrived at the house, no one spoke English. They only understood Arabic. I tried to communicate with them, but we couldn't understand each other. So when I was at the house, then I was told that I was going to be sent to Saudi Arabia. I asked them, how can I be sent to Saudi Arabia? I came to work in Kuwait. And then they said, that's not our problem. If the agents didn't tell you that you're going to Saudi Arabia, but you're going to Saudi Arabia.
What happened when you arrived in Saudi Arabia? What decision did you make?
When you arrived in Saudi Arabia, I asked her, can you pay me my money? And then she refused to pay me my money, telling me that, well, how can I pay you your money? You're not working here in Saudi Arabia. I will not give you your money. That's when I realized Saudi Arabia is very far from Kuwait. So I have to make a decision that this guy have to take me back to Kuwait. So I pretended to be sick. When I pretended to be sick, they took me back to Kuwait. The brother and the mother were given us to Kuwait in Saudi Arabia. When we go to Kuwait, then I say to the brother, why don't you take me back to the office so that I go and look for another family or I go back to Zimbabwe? I tried to communicate with the office, telling them about my place, that this day they didn't pay me my money for the match that I have worked for them. They didn't come or give me any help. They just told them to bring me back to the office.
How long were you with this family for, and how were they treating you?
The house, they came straight to rape you because they had access to your room anytime they wanted. So I also powered them because they didn't have power. So I even tried to tell my madam this, to your boss, I tried to rape me, then she would tell, you are lying. And we Muslims, we don't touch you. The Christians, poor Zimbabweans, why would my son try to rape you? Sometimes I would cry because they could not give us any meat to eat or water to drink. They would tell you, you have to stand and work. No, you don't have to sit or do anything. They couldn't allow us communication with our families. But I did in my phone amongst my clothes. So one day when I was in the house, I managed to steal the Wi-Fi password. That's when I started to get access to my phone. So when I started getting access to my phone, I told people, one of my family members back home in Zimbabwe, to Google the number of the Zimbabwe numbers here in Kuwait. So when he did that, he sent me the number. I kept the number with me. So we stayed and they started sending me to other families. So one day they sent me to another family. So when I was at that family, money went missing and I was saying, we have never used any money, so the money is stolen by you. And then they fix my bag, and then the big defense man, and then they said, we are taking you back to the agent, you are good for nothing. Then I asked them, what about my money for all the money? They said, and then, why should we pay you? We bought you at an expensive price. We are not going to pay you anything. So when the driver came to pick me up at the house, the driver from the agent, but then he told me that they didn't give me your passport. They said they will remain with your passport because you stole from them. So your family has to give us $2,500 to pay the family for them to give you your passport. So I'm now taking you to another family. So then you say, for now, I'll take you to the office. You go and rest for a day. Then tomorrow morning, I'll come and fetch you and take you to the other family. So that's when you go out to the office. So it was an apartment or flat where we arrived. We took a lift and then got up. We were in the 18th floor.
So when you arrived at this place where you were taken, were there any other Zimbabwean women and also other nationalities?
Yes, there were three Zimbabwean women. One who had escaped through the window from her employers. Two others were following in, and then their employers didn't take them for any medication. They just came and dropped them at the agent, and then they got a replacement and then just left them like that. And there was a Malaysian woman who had worked for 2 years, 8 months in Kuwait, but was never paid. So she was saying, I just want my passport so that I can go back home now. And there was a Filipino woman who was working for the agent, who was like the caretaker of the house, but there was no food, nothing at all, not even water. There was nothing. So when we go to the house, we started saying the attorney just gave each other courage. And then said, if we don't escape now, there's never going to be a chance that we are going to be able to escape. Because these guys, when I was in the car, the driver was talking to the boss on the phone, saying Zimbabweans are not becoming a problem. We have to send them far, far away because we are losing money. Because they are replacing, when they are taken back to their country, the people who have employed them, we are giving them their money. So we are going to tell them to Saudi Arabia, Oman, Turkey, far away they cannot escape. And then treat them in six years. So the family told my parents that this is what they were saying. This is the time we have to escape. Because if we don't escape now, these guys are going to send us far away where we cannot escape. So we then discussed the strategy for us to get out of that apartment. We had to steal the keys from the Filipino woman who was taking care, who was the caretaker of them. So when she went to get a bus, that's when we stole the keys and then opened the door and then we locked the door and we ran. We were in the 18th floor. We ran from 18th floor using the stairs up to the 14th floor because the elevator was not working. And we got to the 14th floor. That's when we got out. We couldn't run anymore because we were tired. We were hungry. We had not eaten. We couldn't run anymore. That's when we just said, let's try use the elevator. That's when we used the elevator. And then the elevator was working from the 14th floor. We then ran out of the building. And then we very fortunate that taxi did wait for us, but we didn't have any money.
So if you didn't have any money, how did you then take a taxi to your next destination?
Oh, We had contacted the guy at the Zimbabwean embassy, Mr. Ngwenya. We had told him our problem, and he said, if you manage to escape, just come straight to the embassy. I'm going to pay the money for the tax. And we had also conducted some of your fellow members at the registration to help us because we were so helpless. We couldn't know who else to help us at the moment. That's when we managed to get out, and Mr. Ngwenya paid the tax. That's how we got to the embassy. That's when we got help, we filled our information, and they took us to a self-shelter. Now we are now waiting for us to families.
Thank you very much, Nancy Moyo, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.